out of the courtroom, and I assume you're Mr. Welding.
Correct.
Good morning to you, and Mr. Campbell, good morning to you. Do either of you have any questions before we begin?
No, Your Honor.
Then, Mr. Welding, you may proceed.
May it please the court, Nick Welding on behalf of the appellant Scott Mullering, and if I may, reserve 2 minutes for rebuttal. This case involves the public employment of Mr. Mullering as a teacher with the Department of Health and Human Services. And the issue before this court is, what is the duration of the probationary employment period of teachers employed by the department? This issue turns on one, particular statute, and that is Nebraska Revised Statute Section 79-845. And I believe it's worth looking at this statute in closely this morning. 79-845 provides that any contract of employment between the teaching staff of the department, which applies to the first 2 years of employment of such teaching staff, shall provide that the first 2 years of the employment of such teacher are a probationary period. Any such contract may be terminated during the probationary period without cause. So I believe what this statute requires us to look at are relevant employment contracts and what years of employment those contracts apply to. When it comes to this analysis, the facts are undisputed and were stipulated for purposes of trial. Mr. Mullering began his employment as a teacher with the department during the 2018-2019 school year under a written employment contract. That contract identified a date range which served as the term of the contract, and that term was August 13, 2018 to May 24, 2019. Importantly, Mr. Mullering's first employment contract also identified the number of contract days he was required to work during that school year, which is 185 days. If we look at the collective bargaining agreement between Mr. Mullering's union and the department, specifically Section 6.6, it defines that 185-day time period as the annual employment period. And the party stipulated that Mr. Mullering completed all 185 days of that contract for the 18-19 school year. Mr. Mullering signed a second employment contract for the subsequent 2019-2020 school year, again identified a date range of August to May. This time identified 188-day contract period, and the party stipulated that Mr. Mullering worked all 188 days and as a result earned all salary and benefits provided therein. Now the record reflects that Mr. Mullering worked a optional summer period during the summer of 2020 and under an employment contract, and actually signed a third contract for the upcoming 2020-2021 school year. Prior to the commencement of the 2020-21 school year, Mr. Mullering on July 2nd received notice of termination. That notice of termination stated that Mr. Mullering's employment was terminated effective immediately and without cause, and offered no due process rights or opportunity to challenge.
Did it? I understand this is a without cause case. Did it give any reasons beyond this is a probationary period and so we don't have to give reasons?
No, Your Honor. The notice letter did not identify any reasons or basis serving to support the termination. It simply said your employment is terminated effective immediately and confirmed that he had no grievance rights to challenge that termination. So I think if we look at these facts, it can be summarized.
Before you go on, why would you interpret 2 years to mean 2 school years as opposed to 2 calendar years? I mean, what's the statute that leads you to that?
Well, Your Honor, I think there's kind of two bases. I would submit to the court that given the historical operation of schools, which is based on school years, that when it comes to the statutes, that year and school year are almost used interchangeably. And in the brief, I cite to a case, it was the Lentz case, I believe, and that case involved the dissolution of Class 1 school districts. And what the statute at issue in that case provided is that if a school district contracts out its teaching staff for 2 successive years, that school must be dissolved.
In the statutes, the expression school year is used. Is
correct,
that correct? 79-7017, 79-201. In other words, the legislature knows how to use school year if that's what they mean. What's your response to that observation?
How I'd respond to that, Your Honor, is that, and this is, I think, the point I was building on, is that school year and years are used interchangeably with these statutes and as interpreted by this court. The Lentz case that I cited to in my brief, the statute in that case used the terms 2 successive years, to determine whether or not that school at issue had contracted out its staff for 2 years. This court interpreting that statute looked at two school years and said, yes, the school district did contract out its staff for this school year and this school year. It did not look at it as two calendar years. So I think with that case, that's the position I would submit to the court is that, and again, given the historical operation of schools, which is based on school years, which usually extends a fall and spring of two separate calendar years.
Is 79845 controlling or not controlling?
Yes, it is. Okay. It is controlling.
Thank you.
And so I guess going back to looking at the statute as and applying the facts to that statute, Mr. Mulring fulfilled his contractual obligations for two successive school years. And if we use the words under the negotiated agreement, he worked two annual employment periods. Now, the State Personnel Board and ultimately the district court relied on focused on the words years of employment and interpreted that to mean two calendar years and did so on the basis of statutory interpretation. But I think the problem there with the district court's analysis is that it relied exclusively on the Black's Law Dictionary of the term year, which I recognize certainly at the general standpoint means 12 calendar months. But I don't believe that is the full extent of proper statutory interpretation, and this court has articulated that when it comes to interpreting a statute, we look at components of a series or collection of statutes pertaining to a certain subject matter, and that those statutes are in pari materia and should be conjunctively considered and construed to determine the intent of the legislature.
Don't we have a general statute that defines the word year as calendar year in Chapter 49 of the statutes?
That, Your Honor, I'm not familiar with.
Assume that it is. What does that do to your argument?
Well, Your Honor, I think we...
I can find it if you want me to.
No, I'll
take your word for it. It's there.
Sure. Again, I guess I would go back to the position that years and school years, when it comes to schools, are used interchangeably. And you can see that within Chapter 79, the entire provisions of Chapter 79, years and school years are used interchangeably. And again, I go back to the Lentz case where, again, this court, you know, that statute itself did not use the word school years, but nonetheless, this court interpreted it as such.
Was that dispositive in that case? Was there a difference between school year and year in the Lentz case?
It was not, Your Honor.
So perhaps we were not as precise as we could have been?
I would submit that you were correct. Because again, I think if we go back and looked at the purpose and practical aspects of the operation of schools, I mean, schools are run based on school years. It's rarely you'll see within the statutory frameworks applicable to schools reference to calendar years or 12 calendar months, because that's simply just not how school years operate. If we do so, many times we're looking at two separate school years, and it does get quite confusing.
Does it have any impact on your argument that this school was operating with essentially, I won't say, three different periods? You had a first semester, a second semester, and a summer period?
I'm not sure if I understand your question, Your Honor.
Well, there's the first semester, the second semester, but he was teaching in summer classes, was he not, at the time he was relieved of his duties?
Correct, Your Honor.
And so this school was operating all year round.
It is, and what the collective bargaining agreement states as it relates to that summer period is that it is optional. During that summer period, there is no evaluation process, and I think that is significant because if we look at the SCADA labor contract, during the school year, there is an evaluation procedure that requires that there be evaluations twice a year, which is very similar to the probationary period applicable to teachers employed by public school districts. And that is where I think when we get into the statutory interpretation analysis, we look at statutes that are in pari materia, I think we can find some guidance. Because with respect to statutes applicable to teachers employed by public school districts, not the Department of Health and Human Services, the legislature is very clear that what the purpose of the probationary period is. And the purpose of the probationary period under 79-828 is to allow the employer an opportunity to evaluate, assess, and assist the employee's professional skills and work performance prior to the employee obtaining permanent status.
Before your time totally expires, the statute to which I was referring is 49-801 sub 25, which says unless the context is shown to intend otherwise, words and phrases in the statute of Nebraska hereafter enacted are used in the following sense. And when you get down to section 25, it says year shall mean calendar year.
Okay.
So how does that, given that neither party referred to that statute in their briefing, so I understand it may be a bit of a surprise, but I'd like to have you have the opportunity to respond to that before you sit down.
Sure. And I guess, candidly, Your Honor, I would want to see what were the effective dates between the 79-845 and what the statute just referred.
It's probably 1947.
Sure, been predates.
Since that.
Sure. I guess, Your Honor, without having looked at that statute, understanding the context of it and the fact that that statute, at least as far as I'm aware, has never been raised in any cases involving public employment of teachers, I don't believe the legislature has necessarily considered it. That would be my position. And again, I think the operation of schools based on school years and this court's interpretation in Lentz suggests that, those two words are used interchangeably. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Mr. Campbell, good morning to you.
Good morning. Good morning, Mr. Chief Justice, and may it please the court, James Campbell on behalf of the Nebraska Department of Health and Human Services. Mr. Mulrig's case depends on this court interpreting the phrase 2 years in section 79-845 to mean 2 school years. But there is no principle of statutory construction that permits that result. In fact, under well-established principles of textualism, this is an easy case. Start with the words 2 years. It is well established that 2 years refers to a 24-month period. Justice Castle, you have mentioned an additional state statute that provides further support for that, which, as you also mentioned, we did not include in our brief, but I do think it squarely results the plain meaning argument, or it squarely supports the plain meaning argument that we are making. There is nothing about that plain language in that statute that is ambiguous. Therefore, there is no need for additional statutory construction. Now, Mr. Mulrig's primary argument here is the in pari materia rule of statutory construction. That permits courts to look at other provisions in order to either shore up or contradict what it says in the statute that it's under consideration. So what his argument here is that you need to look to all the statutes and you will come away with the conclusion that year in section 79-845 actually means school year. But I would say that under a proper application of that rule of construction, it actually undermines his argument. And I'll illustrate the point by using two statutes that he both cites, both of which deal with different sets of teachers. And I think that's critical and something that his argument misses. The first statute is the one under consideration, and that's 79-845. That statute deals with teachers employed by the department, and it says that the probationary period is 2 calendar years. The next statute is 79-824, and that deals with teachers employed by local school districts. That statute says the probationary period is 3 successive school years. So when we compare these two statutes and read them together as in pari materia, we find at least two things that are very important. First is the legislature knows how to use the phrase school years when that's what it intends. And secondly, it didn't use that phrase in this statute.
To be clear, you started this argument by saying that 79-845 used the term calendar year. But doesn't it just say year?
It just says year. I'm sorry, Your Honor.
Okay.
Yes, yes.
I don't think that changes your argument, but I wanted to be clear about that.
That's absolutely correct. I misspoke. It just says 2 years of employment. In contrast, the 79-824 says 3 successive school years. And so this difference is important. And I think there are other statutory features that show the legislature tried to treat these two classes of teachers differently for purposes of their probationary period. And again, those two classes of teachers are those employed by the department on the one hand and those employed by local school districts on the other hand. The two features I referred to, I'll take you back to 79-824, which is the statute I previously referenced regarding school district teachers. What's interesting about that statute is it explicitly confines its scope. It identifies a statutory range. That statutory range is 79-824 through 842. And all of those provisions apply to teachers employed by school districts. But what we're dealing with here is a statute outside that statutory range. And so it's not a proper application of the statute to take it from that context, to take the definitions in that context, and to apply it to teachers employed by the department that are addressed outside of that statutory range by a different statute. And the other interesting point is found in 79-828. That's the provision that deals with various procedural protections for probationary teachers that are employed by school districts. And so the contrast I would draw here is the legislature gave explicit procedural protections to school district teachers that were in their probationary period, but it gave no similar procedural protection to teachers employed by the department during their probationary period. And again, it just further illustrates the overall picture, which is the legislature intended to treat these two different classes of teachers different for purposes of the probationary period. What Mr. Mulrig is left to argue are a few miscellaneous arguments outside the statutory text. His first miscellaneous argument is based on a statutory purpose argument. He says that the whole purpose of a probationary period is to allow the employer to evaluate the performance, and that that performance evaluation can only occur during the school year. The problem with that argument is that the facts of this very case undermine it. Because Mr. Mulrig received notice that he was not going to be retained in his position while he was teaching summer school. The very existence of summer school shows that the employer can continue to evaluate teacher employment outside of the school year context. And so our reading of the statute actually furthers the statutory purposes that Mr. Mulrig identifies better than his statutory reading does. The last argument he makes rests on the absurd results canon. The absurd results canon, as this court recently recognized in the Park case, is a very high bar. A litigant has to show that there is manifest absurdity. And the argument here is that there is supposedly absurdity because there might be an instance where a teacher for their first few days of their third school year might still be in the probationary period. But this is just a hypothetical. There's no evidence that any teacher has ever been dismissed as a probationary employee during that few day window at the beginning of a third school year. And so that falls far short of the manifest absurdity that would be required in order to override the plain statutory.
Does it matter to our statutory interpretation that teachers with the department as opposed to teachers with the local school district may be treated differently for employment purposes? If it is evident from the statute, does the motive matter?
I don't believe the motive matters at all. I think that the discussion that I gave that goes into some of those issues, I think it further illustrates that the legislature intended to treat them differently, but I do not think it's dispositive of the analysis.
Thank you.
Unless the court has any further questions, we would ask for affirmance of the district court judgment. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Do we have any time for rebuttal?
No, Your Honor.
There is no time for rebuttal. That concludes arguments then in Mulrig versus Health and Human Services. Counsel, you are excused, and the court will go on to the next case of the day, which is Callahan versus Brandt.